Today we begin a new series of sermons. And we start off with the pages of the Old Testament. And I have to say, I had a professor in college by the name of C. Hassel Bullock, who was my Old Testament professor, spoke in a monotone voice, taught us the Old Testament with dates and places, with who was which prophet and who was which king, and I was never so bored in my life. And as I was watching Amy do the children's talk this morning, I thought, why couldn't I have learned it that way? But we want to look at Nehemiah, because he was a rebuilder. And he was helping the people kind of get back into things. And so let's take a look at the 10th chapter of Nehemiah. Just two verses there I'd like us to highlight. Nehemiah 10, 34 and 35. We, the priests, the Levites, and the people, have cast lots to determine when each of our families is to bring to the house of our God, at set times each year, a contribution of wood to burn on the altar of the Lord our God, as it is written in the law. We also assume responsibility for bringing to the house of the Lord each year the first fruits of our crops and of every fruit tree. May the Lord bless this a portion from His holy word. This has been a kind of a sad week for me. One of my best buddies from growing up, a fellow by the name of Joe Umholtz, passed away last Saturday night. And I'm going to be traveling up to Harrisburg tomorrow to lead his memorial service. And it's interesting when you lose somebody that you grow up with, doesn't it kind of take you back? Takes you back to the days of your youth and childhood, and I've been having that kind of experience, thinking a lot about it. And I just got a call from another one of our friends that we grew up with. I haven't heard from him in 20 plus years, and just hearing his voice, you know, brings back all sorts of memories of things we used to do as kids together there, growing up in Carbondale, Pennsylvania. And one of the funny things that I remembered, it's kind of funny what pops into your head, but I didn't realize it at the time, but I think I actually grew up in a very impoverished area. You know, when you're in the middle of it, you don't know how poor you are, but I guess we were. And when I was talking with my friend Danny, he brought back the memories we had. We used to, okay, now I'm going to have to explain a lot of this to you. Carbondale, carbon coal, obviously was a coal town, an anthracite coal town. And everybody in that city burned coal to keep their houses warm. The churches, everything, burned coal to keep their houses warm. But it had been a coal mining town for well over 100 years, and one of the scars of coal mining, at least in the anthracite fields, what we call them, are coal banks. And these coal banks were the refuse from the process of grading the coal. It would be coal that wasn't acceptable. It was not pure coal. It might have some slate in it or other impurities. And so it was cast to the side. And then you have these huge mounds stretching for miles after miles of these coal banks. And what we used to do is we would go to the coal banks and pick coal. You'd pick it by the we had small buckets, and you'd pick out like the ones that had the most coal in them. Now, this was not an easy task. You got dirty. You used to go with Danny and his family, and his father had a dump truck, so he was like one of the wealthy people in our neighborhood. And we would just take the coal and we'd fill in the truck. And to give you an idea of how hard of work it was and how long it took and everything, an average house would use about anywhere from 9 to 14 tons of good coal in a winter. And so in order to use the coal, you had to basically double it and maybe even a little bit more. And so that was flashing back to me how we used to do that, and a lot of the things that we just took for normal. You just, you know, you never threw anything out. You could always fix anything. Anything could be fixed and reused again. And that's just the way of life in Carbondale when I was growing up there. We never thought twice about it. That just was the way that we did things. But as I'm thinking about it and looking back on it and thinking about this sermon today, one of the odd twists in all of that was that as impoverished a community as Carbondale was, you know, and you saw houses that you and I would probably not want to live in, and people living in them and so on, you'd see, if you went back with the eyes that I have now, if I went back, I would see a lot of the poverty that I missed before. But the irony is, in the city of Carbondale, you had the most beautiful churches you've ever seen in your life. The railroad gave land to each of the congregations in town. And so they're all lined up on like a 3-block stretch. You know, all the different denominations, Lutheran, Baptist, Episcopalian, Methodist, Presbyterian, Roman Catholic, a couple of others that I'm not remembering. But anyhow, they were the most magnificent buildings you've ever seen. The Presbyterian church that I grew up in was a Gothic cathedral with magnificent stained glass windows and the high arching stonework. And it was just a beautiful place, marble flooring and the whole nine yards. The Methodist church had some of the most beautiful stained glass windows, had some Tiffany windows in them. And going on down the street, the Catholic church, being the largest in town, was a cathedral. And you look at that and you wonder, how in the world did that happen? But I think it is a reflection of what Nehemiah was talking about. As Nehemiah was reestablishing the community in a very real sense and trying to get people geared back up to an active and regular worship of God, one of the things that they vowed to do was to bring the first fruits to God, to offer them as gifts of thanksgiving. As gifts that would honor and glorify God. I think that may be what was happening in Carbondale. That yes, you could live without things at home, and yes, you could make sacrifices, but when it came to what you were doing to bring God honor and glory, you didn't give Him your second best. And that's what Nehemiah, I think, was trying to get across to his people there. That when we honor and glorify God, we need to give Him the best of who we are. Not the leftover time, not the leftover money, not the leftover this, that, or the other thing. But give God the best of who we are in all that we do. Whether it's the work that we do for the church, whether it's the way that we treat our neighbors, whether it's the tithes and offerings that we bring, that we do it out of gratitude and from the top of our resources, from the best of who we are. And I know that, you know, every year, to be honest with you, you know, we get into the stewardship season and every year we want you to see that it's not about making a budget, it's not about keeping the lights on in the church, that it really is about how we perceive ourselves in relationship to God. Are we truly a grateful people, giving to God out of the gratitude of our hearts? Giving God the best of ourselves. But there is that element of making the budget, because as you read through this passage from Nehemiah, the passage right before he's talking about out of the gratitude of our hearts, bringing the first fruits, the best of what we have, he's talking about, well, we got to figure out who's going to bring the wood on what days. So the bills still had to be paid. And I just kind of got a kick out of that when I was preparing the sermon, that the reality of making sure that you had wood to burn on the altars was still there. And so we do hope that as we get into the pledging season, not today, but in the future, in the near future, that you consider how we can keep the lights on in the building as well as bringing your tithes and offerings out of the gratitude, the deepest part of your hearts, out of the richness of what you have received from God, that it needs to be something that just wells up from you, that it is a natural act of gratitude as you count the blessings that you have received from God. Bring the first fruits. Bring the best of who you are, so that God might have the honor and glory that He so richly deserves. Would you pray with me? Almighty and ever-loving God, You have blessed us in so many ways, ways both tangible and intangible, and that has changed our lives. We do stand before You as a grateful people, recognizing all of the blessings we have received from You, especially the greatest blessing ever given, the gift of Your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our Savior. Amen.